thank you for your kind invitation. It's lovely to be here today to share with you. You'll need to excuse me. I had an ankle replacement a couple of months ago, so I'm going to have to sit down to do this. But hopefully you'll all be able to hear. It's just wonderful to see so many people in our city who come here to pray week by week. And I know there are many other prayer meetings around our city, so God is good. And I just praise him for your faithfulness in prayer. I had a couple of scriptures I wanted to share to start with today. From Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and will. And the other readings from Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For it is by grace we have been saved through faith, and this is not from ourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Those two scriptures have been very important to me over the years, because I know whatever I do, it has to be in him. It has to be something to do with him, because I'm not a very clever person. I'm not very talented. I'm very ordinary, actually. And, you know, I'm not good with words or speaking, because I can remember thinking of Moses, how he was slow of speech. And that used to really bother me, because I'd feel very embarrassed getting up to speak. The words wouldn't come out as I wanted them to. And yet, God has used all these things for his purposes, because that scripture that he has prepared good works in advance for all his people is very important. And he has made us in a way that no matter what our weaknesses or strengths are, that he has made us in this way so that we can fulfill the purpose that he has for each one of us. And as you've probably gathered, my purpose that he's led me to has been prayer. I guess it started with my parents, because they were prayers. They had a very private sort of faith, but I knew they prayed, because if ever I stumbled into their bedroom late at night, I could see them on their knees. And I've seen the results of their prayers over decades. And we still see great blessings within our family and our children and grandchildren because of those prayers. So I've always known how important it was. But sharing a bit of my own experience, when I was 13, I was packed off to boarding school, like a lot of kids were from the farming areas. And for 3 years, I was taught by the nuns, the Anglican nuns, scripture every day, and they were really good, because it was straight from the Bible. We learnt catechisms off by heart, all sorts of things, many scriptures off by heart during that time, and I found it very hard. I decided at the end of 3 years, when I left school, that I'd had enough of church, enough of religion and everything else, and it wasn't true and real, and that was it. But being a country girl, I had to go and live with my grandmother, and Dad had said to her, now make sure she goes to church twice a month, which she did. But I joined the youth movement and had a wonderful social life, as they did in those days. But as well as that, I didn't know what I wanted to be or do. So they put me into a commercial course. My girlfriend was going to that. They thought that would be a good start for work for me. And I completed the course, and we were sent out we were given interviews, job interviews around the city. And I happened to get an interview at the Salvation Army. And I had to wait quite a long time, so I picked up one of their pamphlets. And it just blew me away. It was about the re-establishment of the state of Israel. And it had all the scriptures in that were written 2,500 years ago that had been fulfilled in the re-establishment of the state of Israel. It blew me away because at that stage I think Israel had only been a nation about 10 years or so. And suddenly I realised that the Bible was for real. It was true. And the fear of God really came on me. And from then on, you know, I was very avid in my Bible reading. I couldn't understand why all my mates at youth group didn't see things the way I did. And that sort of led me into nursing because I thought, all right, I'll be a missionary. And in those days, the only jobs in the mission field for girls was nursing or teaching. I wasn't bright enough to be a teacher, so I thought I'd better be a nurse. But, of course, life goes on, and in those days we trained in the hospitals, and I got very caught up with study and work and so on, and away from fellowship, and I suppose I backslid for a number of years. And then, of course, the time came when the Charismatic Renewal came to Perth. I always attended church, and it was during that time that my life changed, and you saw a little bit about that in the information I've sent in. But I've discovered in this life, and this is how I know, that God has prepared everything. It's all about Him. It's not about us. You know, He called me to Himself when I was absolutely going in the opposite direction. And it's always been like that with me. Whenever God's called me to do something, it's not that I don't want to do it, it's just, you know, how do I know what to do? What does He really want? I don't think I could do it. I know I couldn't do it in my own strength. But He's always made a way. And as I mentioned in the little handout you got, we had groups back in the 70s and 80s, by prayer and Bible study groups, where the Lord taught us amazing things straight out of Scripture. We prepared our lessons on the different things that were happening in our homes, in our lives, all based on Scripture. And as you saw, for 10 years, there was nothing, and I thought I was retired. And at that time, I felt the Lord was telling me it was time to do something new. I didn't know what, and I wasn't particularly keen to. And we had Bishop Hammerson in our parish at the time, and he'd been up to one of the conferences in Singapore, the transformation conferences. And he was full of it when he came back. And before he left our parish one day, after we were praying, he said to me, "I believe God's calling you to start a beachhead of prayer in Perth." And I just looked at him and said, "No, it can't be. I'm retiring. My husband's retiring. Oh, I'm not going to do that." And I thought that was the end of it. I was doing a bit of part-time work. And a few weeks later, my knees came up like balloons. Had arthritis. I couldn't walk. And I had to give up nursing just like that. And our new minister had come by this time. And the first appointment I had with him to tell him about prayer in the church, he didn't listen to me. He just looked at me and said, "You know, you've got a particular anointing. God's calling you to work amongst the churches in the city. And we're going to support you wholeheartedly, and you're not going to do another thing in this church." And I thought, ooh, I argued with him and discussed it, but he didn't listen. And he suggested that I read a few books, which I did, and that made a bit of sense. And he said that we should go to the Burning Heart Conference in Brisbane, which was on in August of that year, 2001. And four of us went, and there was a group from Kalgoorlie who went too. And Cindy Jacobs and Chuck Pearce were amongst the speakers. And I remember Chuck Pearce gave a word that if Australia didn't get her praying right within 3 years, we'd see some terrorist attacks in our land. And Cindy came over from Perth a day later and gave virtually the same prophetic word. And I think that's when it hit me, what God wanted us to do. And she also said that we were to fast and pray for the coming election for 40 days, which many, many did. And also that, you know, we were to really get ourselves sorted in prayer. So when we returned, we had a breakfast. I remember, fortunately, most were fasting, so we had enough food. We catered for 60 and about 140 turned up, I think. And that was the beginning of West Australian Intercessors Network. It started off as a women's group, but a couple of years later, we included men. But during that meeting, it was quite amazing because between the conference we'd been to and that meeting, the Twin Towers had fallen in New York. And since that time, I've discovered a lot of stuff has happened in that particular year. A lot of people from the church came back to WA. All sorts of things happened, particularly amongst the intercessors. So that's how we started. But in all the work we ever did in prayer, we've always worked as teams. You know, I might be sitting up here as coordinator. And in fact, I'm not really an intercessor. People might seem shocked when I say that. I pray and I pray fervently, but I couldn't call myself an intercessor. I'm more of a facilitator, I guess. That's the gift God's given me for this purpose. So in our group, our leadership group, which is quite open, there are people with all the various gifts that are used. And it's really wonderful to see the way God speaks to us and through his prophets and how those who are real intercessors take these things up in prayer. And the rest is history as far as Wynn's concerned. But I'd just like to encourage you today, you know, he's got that purpose for each one of us that he's prepared in advance. And it's so important that we seek what that purpose is. And if it's prayer, then we have to be faithful to that call. Because I think it was John Wesley who said, nothing happens except in answer to prayer. And Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. And I remember when Brian Pickering was here last, he said at one of his talks that 85% of Christians have a real struggle to know how to pray. So it is very important that we seek God. And I think the most important part of prayer is listening and hearing what's on God's heart, because it's all about him. Whatever we do is all about him. And when people come together in unity, God commands that blessing. And I've seen it over and over again. I'd much prefer to pray in a situation where people come from every denomination. And that's why it's such a joy to be here with you today. So I encourage you, pray. I was going to just read quickly from, just to finish off, Philippians. This is something that I've always clung to, this scripture. And Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Thanks very much, Robin. You want to just stay here for one moment?
Who?